Good morning. Good to see you. Welcome to Bullet Lick Baptist Church. There are several announcements in the bulletin. The men and boys who are planning on going on the 50-mile hike meet immediately after the service in the fellowship hall. Men's breakfast, May 31st. Members meeting, May 28th. And then you can see the dates for boys' camp and girls' camp. We need you to sign up if you're going to do that. There are ladies who volunteer to put together the meals for boys' camp. And we need to know how many boys are planning on coming. All right, it's good to see you this morning. And Jim Bob and Missy and their family are on vacation, so I'm leading the music as well as attempting to do the preaching. The first song that we're going to sing is Fairest Lord Jesus. Such a good song to sing on a lovely springtime day when the whole world smells like multifloral rose and honeysuckle. Multifloral rose is basically a curse on the countryside, but it sure does smell good this time of year. And I took a walk early this morning just as it was beginning to lighten in the east, and just my whole neighborhood smelled like multifloral rose and honeysuckle. And now we get to hear the 17-year locust start to sing. And I think I was 13 years old the first time I heard the 17-year locusts. And so this is my fourth round with the 17-year locusts. And I just wonder, will I live to see another? I'll be 80 if I hear them again. And some of y'all are not going to do it. Not going to make it to hear the 17-year locusts again. So enjoy it. Enjoy it while it's here. The whole world is full of God's glory, but Jesus is more fair than anything that he has made. All things were made by him and for him. And so let's stand and sing Fairest Lord Jesus. Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, O thou of God and man the Son, thee will I cherish, thee will I honor, thou my soul's glory, joy, and crown. Fair are the meadows, fairer still the woodlands, robed in the blooming garb of spring. Jesus is fairer, Jesus is purer, who makes the woeful heart to sing. Fair is the sunshine, fairer still the moonlight, and all the twinkling starry host. Jesus shines brighter, Jesus shines purer than all the angels have can boast. Beautiful Savior, Lord of the nations, Son of God and Son of Man, glory and honor, praise adoration. be seated. This morning, when it comes time for preaching, I hope to preach from Jesus' parable about a man who found a treasure in a field. It took him by surprise, but he sold all that he had to buy that treasure. And then it's followed up with another parable about a man who was a buyer of pearls who found the most exquisite pearl that he had ever seen. And so he sold all of his pearls, all of his possessions of lesser value, so that he could have that one pearl of great price. And so most of the songs that I've chosen for this morning reflect that theme. The idea that you sell what is of lesser value to get what is of greater value. And we just sang, "Fair are the meadows, fairer still the woodlands, robed in the blooming garb of spring." Jesus is fairer. Jesus shines brighter, who makes the woeful heart to sing. And then we sang a stanza about, "Fair is the sunshine, fairer still the moonlight, and all the twinkling starry host." But Jesus shines fairer. Jesus shines brighter than all the angels heaven can boast. So the thrust of the whole service this morning is that Jesus and the kingdom of God is worth more than anything else, and that we should trade everything what is of lesser value so that we might have what is the greatest value. In the book of Proverbs, wisdom is extolled as a virtue, a quality that we should make great sacrifices to obtain. And both of the verses of scripture that I will be reading from Proverbs today, but the other is from the book of Job. Many theologians and Bible interpreters believe that wisdom is a picture of Jesus Christ. And so let's read Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you will help us to see the relative value of all that we possess and come to the conclusion that not any one part of all that we possess, nor all of it together, is worth losing our souls. We remember the words of Jesus, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" We pray that you will give us wisdom, give us your Holy Spirit, that we might see through all the dust and the lies that this world stirs up, and that we often cannot see things clearly. And we just pray that you will open our eyes that we might see. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Each week we try to obey the scriptures and sing one of the psalms. We know that these are songs that God likes, and you can remain seated while we sing Psalm number 1. Oh, greatly blessed is the man who walketh not astray in counsel of ungodly men, nor stands in sinners' way, nor sitteth in the scorner's chair, but placeth his delight upon God's law and meditates on his law day and night.
He shall be like a tree that grows set by the water side, which in its season bears its fruit and green its leaves abide. And all he does shall prosper well. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff which by the wind is driven to and fro. In judgment therefore shall not stand such as ungodly are, nor in the assembly of the just shall wicked men appear. Because the way of godly men is to Jehovah known, whereas the way of wicked men shall quite be overthrown.
Our next scripture reading is from Job chapter 28, verses 12 through 28. Walker, there is, on my desk, there is a hymn book. It's called the Trinity Hymnal. I think it's blue or it could be green. Could you bring that to me, please? It's on my desk. The door's open. Job chapter 28, beginning with verse 12. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its worth, and it is not found in the land of the living. The deep says, it is not in me, and the sea says, it is not with me. It cannot be bought for gold, and silver cannot be weighed as its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Gold and glass cannot equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of crystal. The price of wisdom is above pearls. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. From where then does wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the air. Abaddon and death say, we have heard a rumor of it with our ears. God understands the way to it, and he knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he gave to the wind its weight and apportioned the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder. Then he saw it and declared it. He established it and searched it out. And he said to man, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to turn away from evil is understanding. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you have hidden wisdom, but you have not hidden it so carefully as to make it impossible to find. You have not said to the sons of men, seek my face in vain. But you have said, those who seek me shall find me when they search with all of their heart. And right there is the problem that so many of us are plagued with, that we just do so many things half-heartedly. But most regrettably, we seek after you so half-heartedly. We pray that you'll forgive us for being so easily distracted with the toys and the baubles of earth. We pray that you'll forgive us for making excuses as to why we don't have time to pray, but we have found time to spend hours looking at foolish videos on the internet, or to say that the Bible is too difficult for us to understand, and that we give just a few minutes to reading the Bible, if that, and say, well, we don't have time for more, when we devote so much time and energy to lesser things. Lord, forgive us for these idolatries, when we put things that ought to be in second or third or 25th place, when we give them priority in our lives. We pray, Lord, that you will help us, each one, to feel something of the joy that Jesus indicated in the story when the man found that treasure, when the pearl merchant found that pearl. And we pray that you'll help us to respond accordingly. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I think it's generally a bad idea to try and teach more than one song in a church service. And I'm hoping that maybe you will know the second song. But I have little hope that you know this first song. And so I'll ask Ruth Ann to play it through for you one time. I found the pearl of greatest price. Obviously, this is a hymn that complements the text of the sermon very well. So play it through for us one time, please, Ruth Ann. Stand and give it our best shot. I found the pearl of greatest price. My heart doth sing for joy, and sing I must, for Christ is mine. Christ shall my song employ. I found the pearl of greatest price. My heart doth sing for joy, and sing I must, for Christ is mine. Christ shall my song employ. Christ is my prophet, priest, and king, my prophet full of light. My great high priest before the throne, my king of heavenly might. I found the pearl of greatest price. My heart doth sing for joy, and sing I must, for Christ is mine. Christ shall my song employ. For he indeed is Lord of lords and prophet, King of kings. He is the Son, righteousness with healing in his wings. I found the pearl of greatest price. My heart doth sing for joy, and sing I must, for Christ is mine. Christ shall my song employ. Christ is my peace, he died for me he shed his blood. And as my wondrous sacrifice, himself to God, I found the pearl of greatest price. My heart doth sing for joy, and sing I must, for Christ is mine. Christ shall my song employ.
Christ Jesus is my all in all, my comfort and my love. My life below and he shall be my joy and crown above. I found the pearl of greatest price. My heart doth sing for joy, and sing I must, for Christ is mine. Christ shall my song employ.
And then this song that I hope that you might have heard before. It's in the Baptist hymnal, so those of you who read music can find it there. I think it's on page 539, which also reflects the same thing, that we found what in Jesus Christ what we could not find that satisfied us anywhere else. Ready.
All my life I had a longing for a drink from some clear spring that I hoped would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. Hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through his blood I now am saved. Feeding on the husks around me till my strength was almost gone. Longed my soul for something better, only still to hunger on. Hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through his blood I now am saved. Poor was I and sought for riches, something that would satisfy. But the dust I gathered round me only mocked my soul's sad cry. Hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through his blood I now am saved. Well of water ever springing, bread of life so rich and free, untold wealth that never faileth, my Redeemer is to me. Hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through his blood I now am saved.
You may be seated. My text for today is found in Matthew chapter 13. This is a day in the life of Jesus when he told numerous parables. And he's not finished yet. There's still more to go. on this very day, but there are two little parables here that go together. The parable of the hidden treasure and the parable of the pearl of great value. Matthew 13:44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. I've done a little bit of thinking about what is the best deal I ever got at a thrift store. So I don't go to thrift stores very often, but several years ago I would go probably every week or two to a thrift store in the area. And one time I bought a Simplex tea kettle. I think I paid $15 for it. You can get that same kettle at Williams-Sonoma for about $500. Now that's a good thrift store buy. My dad told me that once he was at a yard sale and the widow was selling off her husband's goods after he had died, and there were all these things that were on display in the yard or in the garage, but there was a little note that said, there are tools in the back shed. And so my dad went back to the shed, looks at this tool, and there is this enormous craftsman toolbox. I mean, like one of those big ones that you would see in a professional car garage. And all the drawers are full of all of these wrenches and all of these tools. I mean, there was thousands of dollars worth of tools in this toolbox. So my dad goes back out and he says to the lady, "What do you want for those craftsman tools?" She said, "Oh, I don't know, $25, $30. My dad said, "Ma'am, I don't think you know what you've got back there. You need to get someone who knows about tools to come and tell you how much you should charge for that." So my dad was honest. He never got the tools, but he went home with a clear conscience. And a lot of times we just spend money and spend time on junk, stuff that doesn't satisfy us. I mean, that Simplex tea kettle, it's hanging on a peg at the cabin. I never use it to make tea or boil water. We've got an electric tea kettle at the house that we use all the time. We've got one at the cabin, too. So here's this $500 kettle. I should sell it. I couldn't get $500 for it, but I kind of like the way it looks. And that's one of the things that that makes a treasure, as we will see in just a few minutes. Both of these parables have something in common, and there's a little variation in the men who found them. One of them apparently finds his treasure by accident, and the other one is looking for it. And then both of the parables end in the same way. They go sell everything that they have in order to possess what it is that they have found. Let's take them one at a time. So first of all, the parable of the hidden treasure. Jesus begins this parable like he has several of the other parables. The kingdom of heaven is like. So here is something that happens when people are seeking God and seeking to know God. This is a kind of experience that occasionally happens, that someone who was not particularly looking for the kingdom of God and all of its riches stumbles upon it. Now, in both of these parables, the treasure is found by someone, and in the second of the parables, the person who finds him is someone who was looking for valuable stuff. How does this fit in with what the Bible teaches, that there is no one who seeks after God, not even one, and that in order for any of us to seek after the Lord, well, Philippians 2:13 says, "It is God who works in you both to will and to act according to his good pleasure." How do these things fit together? Well, they fit together because they're not contradictory. We know that God has to initiate that yearning, that searching spirit that eventuates in finding a treasure or finding the pearl of great price, but it really is true that we become seekers. And in fact, when most of us were converted, most of us were unaware of the supernatural sovereign work that God was doing behind the scenes in our hearts. There may have been circumstances that brought us to the point of seeking. May have been sickness, may have been the death of someone, or another series of events that caused us to see, I'm wasting my life, I'm making bad decisions, I need God. But we really were seeking. And the Bible does urge us all, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. So both of these men were seeking, although it doesn't look like the first one was exactly looking for treasure. But once he found it, then he wanted it, and he did what was necessary in order to obtain it. So the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. What makes something treasure? What makes something valuable that we regard to be valuable? And I want to mention some characteristics that I think are also parallel with what makes the kingdom of God so valuable, that what makes God himself so valuable, what makes Jesus Christ and the way of salvation through him so valuable. One thing that makes treasure what it is, treasure, is because it's rare. Diamonds are rare, gold is rare, silver is rare, and the substances that are rare, we affix value to them. Now, both of these stories are set in a context where banking was not trusted, and so if you had wealth, then you might hide it in the crotch of a tree, or you might hide it underneath the boards of your house, or you might just dig a hole in the field, and then perhaps you would die and no one knew where the treasure was. And so this man comes across this treasure, and he sees that it's something that is very rare. You can imagine that he opens the lid onto this box, and there's gold, there's maybe some jewels or some silver coins in there. And he says, oh, this is more valuable than everything I own, my house and everything I own. It's more valuable. We value treasure because it is rare. And I don't know if you have ever thought about how rare Christianity is among world religions, but there is something about Christianity that sets it apart from every other religion in the world. Every other religion of the world, including misunderstandings of Christianity, say that the way you get right with God is through doing good works. And if you have more good works than bad works, then you get to go to a good place when you die. And if you have more bad works than good works, then you get to go to a good place when you die. I'm not sure I said that exactly right, but you know what I mean. But with Christianity, it's not that way. With Christianity, we get to go to heaven because of the good works that someone else has done. And that someone else is Jesus Christ. It is true that the only way to get to heaven is through a life of perfect works. It's just not your perfect works, but it's through the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's not Jesus plus something else that you do. It's not Jesus plus baptism. It's not Jesus does 90% of it and you have to do the last 10%. No, it's salvation by grace through faith alone. And this is very rare and makes it a great treasure. Another thing that makes a treasure is its usefulness. So there are some things that you value not because they are rare, but just because they make your life so much better. And that's the way it is with Christianity. Jesus Christ, the treasure in the field, is made unto us wisdom. You say, well, I'm not a very smart person. Well, you don't have to be a very smart person to receive Jesus as your wisdom. Jesus Christ has made unto us wisdom. and righteousness, which I've already talked about, and sanctification, and everything that we need is found in Jesus Christ. He is very useful to us as sinners standing in need of a Savior. He is the treasure hidden in the field. And then a third thing that makes treasure treasure is that it usually is beautiful. Not always, but when we think of opening that chest full of gold and silver and jewels, there's almost a glow that comes off of it, that those gems are cut and that gold is shining, and it's beautiful. And certainly that is the case with Jesus, the treasure hidden in the field. He is the beautiful Savior. And as we sang a few minutes ago, the world is fair, but Jesus is fairer. The heavens are fair, but Jesus is brighter and purer than all the heavenly host. Jesus is a very beautiful treasure. And then there's something else, a fourth thing about treasure that makes it treasure, and that is that it has enduring value. And in the case of the treasure that is found hidden in the field, which represents the kingdom of God, it has eternal value, so that you are enriched in such a way that an economic downturn can never take away what is stored up for you in heaven, that inheritance that is undefiled and pure, reserved for you in the heavens. So Jesus Christ and the righteousness and the kingdom of God that he brings is like a treasure that is hidden in the field. It's so rare, it's so useful, so beautiful and permanent. Now let's look at this man who finds the treasure. Apparently, he was not a treasure hunter. If you've ever been to the beach early in the morning, then you've probably seen some of the older men from that community out on the beach with these metal detectors. They're trying to find rings or coins that have been lost the day before or sometime. Then they'll dig up and see what they found. I enjoy talking to those guys and asking them what's the best thing that you ever found. And the vast majority of what they dig up is worthless. But they're looking for treasure. That's not this guy. This guy was probably standing behind a plow, or maybe he was just hoeing out a row of vegetables or some other kind of grain. And then there was an unusual clink, an unusual sound that he heard. Now, this is the sort of thing that little boys just dream about. One time, my friend and I were playing in the woods over the hill from the church where my dad was pastor, and we were probably about 5 or 6 years old when this was going on. I mentioned to my sisters on a text this week that the first time I remember hearing the cicadas, I had ridden my bicycle to school on the last day of school. And my sisters exclaimed with surprise, "They let you ride your bike all the way to Kelly's Bridge?" I said, "Well, it's only about 5 miles from our house. It wasn't that far." I said, "Well, what amazes me is how young I was when they let me start playing in the woods without supervision. I mean, probably 4 or 5 years old, and I'm playing in the woods. And those woods were full of panthers and bears and everything. And but they let me play in those woods." Well, anyway, when I was just a little guy like that, my friend and I saw this heap of dirt, and we started digging in it. And we dug down until we came to a concrete cover. Oh, man, we thought we had found Blackbeard's treasure. Never mind that it was 1,000 miles from the coast. And so I went and got my dad to come and investigate what we had begun to unearth. We hadn't uncovered enough of it to get the lid off of it, thank God, because it was the church's septic tank. But we thought that we had found a treasure for sure. This is the kind of thing that little boys just dream about. And so this guy's working in the field, maybe chopping out some vegetables. But anyway, he hears something unusual, and then he looks down there and, oh, looks around. Nobody sees it. He uncovers it. doesn't say that it was in a box, but let's just pretend like it was. He opens the box and, oh, wow, this is somebody's riches. Not the guy who owns the field. I haven't found his. I mean, if you look at this parable a little too closely, you think, well, was he cheating when he covered it up? He didn't want anybody else to see it, and then he goes and buys the field? Don't worry about that. That's not the point of the story. The point of the story is that he finds this treasure, and he recognizes that it is extremely valuable. It's in an unusual place, sort of. It's in a field. I like a hymn that talks about the Word of God as a field, and the author Isaac Watts makes reference to this. I know that Josh and Smith of Sarah McCracken sang at your house one time. I wonder if she sang this song. She sang it when she was singing with Cademan's Call. It's a lovely song. Here are the words. Laden with guilt and full of fears, I fly to thee, my Lord, and not a glimpse of hope appears but in thy written word. The volume of my Father's grace does all my griefs assuage. Here I behold my Savior's face almost in every page. This is the field where hidden lies the pearl of price unknown. That merchant is divinely wise who makes the pearl his own. Here consecrated water flows to quench my thirst of sin. Here the fair tree of knowledge grows, nor danger dwells therein. This is the judge that ends the strife where wit and reason fail, my guide to everlasting life through all this storm gloomy veil. O may thy counsels, mighty God, my roving feet command, nor I forsake the happy road that leads to thy right hand. Yeah, this field, it seems like an unlikely place, but it's the Word of God. He finds this treasure hidden in the Word of God. And if you ever find the treasure of the kingdom of God, it will be in the pages of God's Word. He wasn't looking for treasure. But you might say that the treasure found him. And then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. It's because nothing that he owns begins to compare with the worth of this treasure that he has found in the field. And so he does everything within his power to make sure that he gets the field and he gets the treasure. And that's what you and I must do. Well, the Lord doesn't call upon us, like he did the rich young ruler, to go sell everything that we have and give it to the poor and then come and follow him. But you do have to give it all to him. Nothing remains you, yours, not even yourself, but you give up all of your righteousness and you give up all of your claims for favor with God based on anything that you have, and you take the treasure that he has provided. Now, let's look at the second parable. Again, points one and three are very similar. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, and he finds one. But the difference in these two parables is that this guy's looking for pearls. He is a pearl merchant. He's a merchant. Our word emporia or emporium comes from the word that Jesus uses to describe this man. He's looking, and when he finds it, then he says, Eureka. Probably that's the Greek word. Well, it is the Greek word, but it's also a Greek word that has been brought up into English. I looked up the word Eureka, and you mathematicians will be interested in this. It's a word from Archimedes, who lived in the 3rd century B.C., and his king had purchased a goldsmith make a crown for him. But he suspected that the goldsmith, cheating him, had mixed in silver with the gold. But he couldn't prove it, and so he asked Archimedes if he could prove it. And so Archimedes started thinking about how can I prove that this crown is not pure gold? And he was thinking about it one day when he was getting into the bathtub. And when he got into the bathtub, the water from the bath spilled over the sides, and he realized that a body will displace a specified amount of water. And so he took a measurement of the crown if it were pure gold, and then a measurement of the crown if it were gold mixed with silver, and by the difference in the water that was displaced, he was able to determine that the goldsmith had indeed cheated the king. Oh, but what about Eureka? Well, he was so thrilled when he found this that he went running out naked into the street saying, "Eureka, I have found it! I have found it!" And so that's what the word Eureka means. Haven't heard anyone say it in such, maybe ever, that someone would find something and say, "Eureka!" But now you can impress your friends by finding something and saying, "Eureka, I have found it." I think that was the response of this merchant in pearls, this emporia, this merchant pearl, this pearl merchant, when he finds a pearl who is just unbelievable. Now, if you ever feel like you're just having too much fun and experiencing too much happiness in life, then you could read John Steinbeck's little book called The Pearl. If you have ever read that book, then you know that it will take away your happy mood right quick. It's the story of a man who finds a pearl like this, and it doesn't make him happy. It ruins his life. But Jesus' parable is different. We saw in the parable of the treasure hidden in the field, it says, "Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has." And you can, even though Jesus doesn't repeat that phrase, the same idea is present here. He finds this pearl of great value. "I have found it. Eureka, I have found it." And he tells the man, surely he tells him, "I will give you this money to hold this pearl until I come back, and I will pay you the full price that you're asking for this pearl." And he went and he sold all that he had, and he bought it. And once again, I emphasize that the point of these stories is, first of all, the kingdom of God is worth more than anything else that you've got. Not just anything else, but everything else. And so, don't hold on to anything that will keep you from making this treasure yours. Don't hold on to anything. Don't hold on to everything. Don't hold on to all of it together and let it keep you from owning this pearl of great price. Well, I have on the bulletin that we were going to conclude with singing, "I Have Found the Pearl of Greatest Price." We're not going to sing it again, but I am going to read it to you if Elizabeth will put it up on the board. And the next time we sing it, if we ever sing it again, then you'll be able to sing it with these truths ringing in your ears. "I've found the pearl of greatest price, my heart doth sing for joy. And sing I must, for Christ is mine, Christ shall my song employ." Let's skip over the stanzas, not skip over the verses, the choruses. "Christ is my prophet, priest, and king." You see, that's why he is such a useful treasure. He's a prophet to teach us, a priest to intercede for us and to sacrifice for us, and a king to rule over us and defend us. "My prophet full of light, my great high priest before the throne, my king of heavenly might." So that stanza reminds us of the three offices that Christ executes as our Redeemer. He's our prophet, our priest, and our king. Next. "For he indeed is Lord of lords, and he is the King of kings. He is the Son of righteousness with healing in his wings." So all of those are biblical phrases that describe Jesus. He's not just a Lord. He's the Lord of all lords. He's not just a king. He is the King of kings. He's the pearl of great value. He is the Son of righteousness with healing in his wings. Next. "Christ is my peace. He died for me. For me, he shed his blood. And as my wondrous sacrifice, offered himself to God. Christ Jesus is my all in all. That's just a way of saying he's my everything in everything. My comfort and my love. My life below, and he shall be my joy and crown above. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, now we commit our souls into your care, and we pray that this week we will be reminded often of the great treasure that lies hidden in the field of your word, and that we will dig in this field and enjoy the blessing of finding your treasure again and again. Some of us you have turned into people who are seeking for treasure, like this pearl merchant. And we pray that you will help us to recognize the great, lustrous, beautiful pearl that Jesus Christ is. And we pray this in his name. Amen. You're dismissed.